Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Welcome to episode one of our four-week Family Foundation message series that's focused on building strong relationships. We're going to take this entire month and strengthen the relationships that God has given us. Now, before we jump into today's message, I want to encourage you today, whether you're watching from home or here with us in person on Sunday, to bring your Bible. Bring your Bible, whether it's that page-turning type of physical Bible or an app, the YouVersion app on your phone or your tablet. Let's bring our Bibles. Let's get engaged in the message. And let's start this new year right. Let's start it in the firm foundation of His Word as it is built in our lives, because our Bibles were never designed to sit on a shelf or on a nightstand or an app sitting on our phone that's never opened. It's meant to be highlighted and read and devoured. And so I want to encourage you that as we share in these messages together, that you also in your Bible engage with the Bible you use every day, so that it becomes real to you. And don't hesitate. If you have a physical Bible, underline it, man. Highlight it. Use that scripture that God has given you. Charles Spurgeon once said, "A Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't," right? A well-used Bible is the sign of a well-lived life. And to truly know God and develop the kind of relationship that we need with Him is to know His truth so that we can walk in its reality each and every day. Now, last week we finished a month-long series devoted to the practice of prayer. And practicing, as we know, makes us stronger and stronger the more that we do it. Doctors practice medicine, lawyers practice law, musicians practice their musical instrument because they need to in order to improve that skill, to continue to practice. And so we too need to practice Christianity. We need to practice the truth that God has given us. And that pursuit is an impossibility without building our lives, without building our relationships on a strong foundation. Matthew sets the tone for our entire series in chapter 7, 24 to 27, when he says this. He says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew, the pandemic came, division rose, discouragement and fear set in, maybe even disappointment and heartache showed up. And the Bible says, and it beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." Now, we know Jesus wasn't actually talking about building a house. The house is just an analogy for building a life. And Jesus describes one builder as being foolish. Those are strong words. He didn't beat around the bush. He didn't soft pedal this particular truth. He was calling it like it was. He was trying to teach us. You see, this wasn't a gentle Jesus kind of moment. Jesus was warning us. He was warning us about something that could actually be avoided. Jesus describes the other builder as being wise. This builder listened. He learned. He put into practice what he'd been told. And so what separates the wise builder from the foolish builder? Well, it's the kind of foundation, the Bible says, that those houses were built on. Today, I want to begin this new message series on building strong relationships and the importance, the absolute incredible importance of the kind of foundation that those houses, that our lives, are built upon. Strong family foundations rely on putting God's word into practice every day. That's why I want you to have your Bibles in your hand. Bring it to church. Bring it to your living room when you sit down to watch the broadcast. Let's get into God's word together. Don't just listen to someone else reading it. Listen to it and then study it for yourself. You know, as the great architect of it all, God has designed connections and relationships in our lives. He knew we were going to need them, all the way from our business partnerships and lifelong friendships through to committed marriages and community, our church. Relationships are a significant part of our lives. And when they're great, they're awesome. When the wheels start to come off the wagon and strain comes, it throws our life out of balance. But sadly today, relationships have become more and more defined by what society and culture say they should be instead of what God's word says they could be. And so people look at those happy, kind of filtered images, you know, that they see on social media, and they say, yeah, that's it. Whatever that kind of thing is, I want that. I want what the happy people have. And they don't realize that those happy people are often struggling with the same kind of emptiness, the same struggles that they go through themselves. They think that table full of laughing friends or the endless vacations in the sun, or maybe all those luxury brands that we see in social media that point to what people believe is a successful life or a place where they've arrived. I've got all the things. I'm so happy. And yet we know that the real truth is that those that have the things, that without Christ, they're not happy at all. They're just things. And today people burn through hours scrolling through all those curated Insta moments, looking at those people as they sit in the dark in the sweatpants eating potato chips, wishing they were one of the happy people. Again, not realizing that the people that they long to be are longing for the same kind of happiness, the same kind of relationships that bring strength to their lives. You know, most of us have some kind of a relationship goal, that we want it to be supportive. We want people that we can trust, people that we can count on. Relationships that are healthy and strong. And whether we've defined them or not, there's a place in our lives that longs for those kind of relationships. Whether it's our friendships, our marriages, our community or church relationships, we all will take time to invest in something that we value. And so I want to challenge you this month to look at the relationships in your life, to recognize the value that they represent, and to begin to be deliberate about your investment in how they're developed. But it all starts with a relationship that, without it, all the others struggle. Someone has once wisely said that good relationships are not based on the length of time that you spend together. It's based on the foundation that you've built together. During his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells this unforgettable story of the two builders, the one who builds his house on the sand and the other on the rock. And this is such an important truth that he wanted to communicate because he knew it would shape how our relationships can develop or how they can crash to the ground if we're not careful. That's why he was bringing a warning. And anytime Jesus gives this kind of a truth, we need to take heed. We need to say, okay, this is a warning. I need to be careful. That means that it's very easy to not build my relationships or my life on the proper foundation. See, the meaning of this parable is obvious. The right foundation is critical in building a life or building a relationship. You know, anytime I go to a new city, I'm always drawn to the highest point in that city whenever I go there. And quite often in most major cities, there's usually some type of a tower or skyscraper or mountain view that when I go, the people say, oh, we got to go here. Years ago, Susan and I were invited to Taiwan to minister, and we had a couple of days where we could see the city. And they took us to the top of Taipei 101, this incredible skyscraper that used to hold the world record for height and then was later eclipsed by a few other buildings, including the Burj Khalifa in Dubai. But this was an incredible structure and still is. On New Year's Eve, they fire fireworks off the sides of it. It is an incredible spectacle. But going up to the top of this, you feel your ears pop and you see this incredible view by the time you go up to the top. And as you stand there, it is an impressive sight. But you know what's more impressive about that particular structure in Taiwan is what you don't see at all. See, people marvel at what they see, the view, or how high it is, or what it looks like from a distance. But what is even more incredible is what's underground. It's the extensive and deep foundation that holds that structure in place. As a matter of fact, it's because of the foundation of that building that it can survive violent earthquakes or the many tropical storms that come through that area. Again, the higher you want to go, the deeper and stronger your foundation needs to be. And accomplishing God's purpose in our lives and having the kind of kingdom relationships that we're intended to requires that kind of sure foundation. You see, no one understood this principle better than the Apostle Paul. He knew that ultimately we're all called to work together in relationship, one building on the work of the other, and all of us building on the sure foundation of the unshakable rock himself. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11 says, "By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ." So as we work, as we do what God's called us to do, and we build on that foundation that is Jesus, someone else is building on the foundation. We as a church, we stand here building on the strength of what the faithful that have gone before us have done, all building on that sure foundation. You see, great homes, great families, great churches, great relationships all start with the foundation. And the stronger and deeper they are, the longer they last. Jesus is our unshakable rock. But listen, in order to understand and experience the kind of strong and lasting relationships that we're talking about, we have to look back in order to move forward. And it all starts with the architect of our existence. You see, the architect, he lays out the plan for the builder to follow. That's what he does. And if the plans themselves are followed closely and according to specs, that house will stand. It'll stand and be built on a sure foundation. And when those storms come and beat against that structure, it will remain standing. But the builder doesn't have the permission to just build whatever kind of house he wants. He needs to work closely with the architect. He needs to listen to everything that he says to ensure that everything that he builds is up to code, that it's safe, and again, that it will last, that it will stand the test of time. So the builder's success is attached to the plan of the architect. And through the knowledge and guidance of the architect, the structure will eventually reach its intended purpose. He will be able to build that house that will be stable, that will be strong, that will endure. So again, the success of the builder is attached to the guidance of the architect's master plan. He has to stay to this plan. This is that master plan for our lives that allows us to endure the kind of storms that Jesus knew we would face, that we're facing right now, and that we're coming through. And sometimes you just need to get up and show up and continue by faith to do the things he's called you to do, even when you don't feel it. Maybe you're not always inspired, but when you know the truth, when you work the plan, God will keep your life, your relationships, your house. He'll keep it strong. The Lord said to Joshua in chapter 1, verse 8, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be, listen, be careful to do everything written in it. He's saying be careful to put it into practice. How many know there's a big difference between a professing Christian and a practicing Christian? Then the Bible says that when we keep the word in our mouth, in our lives, that we'll be prosperous and successful. If you build your life on a sure foundation, your house, your life, your relationships will be solid. They'll be prosperous. They'll be successful, as we read here in Joshua. If my words remain in your life, in your mouth, building that firm foundation, your life, your relationships will remain standing when those storms come. If, like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, you build your life on the foundation of Jesus Christ. He's the living word. And sometimes we need to go back to what's called original intent. What did God want from us from the very beginning? You know, Genesis 1 and 2 make it really clear that God wanted us to enjoy the beauty and the abundance of his creation. And in this ideal setting of the paradise of Eden, the first humans were created in the likeness of God. God gave them dominion. He gave them authority over the environment that he set them in. So the original intent of God is demonstrated by what he did. He created a world, and then he put man in it to have dominion over it. That was his original intent. We were created to be like him, and like Adam, we were created to be in close relationship with the architect, with the master builder, with God himself. We're not God, obviously, but we do have God-like capacities. We've been given the ability to create, to have authority, to grow in relationship as we practice the words he's given us. And all this potential, it flows from our primary relationship with him. And then from that, it flows to those around us. So our capacity for relationship was first modeled by him. And so before the conception of time, all three persons of the triune God that are mentioned in 1 Peter 1 and 2, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all dwelled and do dwell in perfect harmony. You see, God himself is the definition of relationship. In this picture of the Trinity, we see how you and I are supposed to live. We're not a self-centered, independent creation. We're called to have God at the center of it all and also to be there and to serve and love one another as we live in community, in relationship. This was the way God intended it from the beginning. This was the way. That's the truth. That's original intent, what he meant. As all three within the Trinity created man in this moment. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, make mankind in our image, in our likeness. So we reflect him. In life, we're going to face obstacles. We're going to face and endure struggles. We might even stumble from time to time. But we will always go back every single time to original intent. What did God, through his love, intend for me in the first place? You see, our relationship with God is inseparable from our relationship with other people. His love for mankind, for all of us, is what connects all of us together. It's the truth, and it's a very powerful one. And as Christ followers, we're called to take a counter-cultural approach in building our relational foundations. It looks a little different than what society says we should do, which is a very self-centered, self-preserving way of life, as opposed to serving and loving others and keeping God at the center of it all. And it all, for us, starts with his love. So let me give you some countercultural qualities of that love that establishes our foundation and strengthens all of our relationships. Number one, God's love is unconditional. It's absolute. It's unrelenting. It's steadfast. It's unfailing. You see, common love is filled with conditions. If you do this for me, I'll do this for you. But uncommon love is forever unconditional. All the strings are cut. Number two, God's love is sacrificial. You see, for God so loved the world, he did something about it, right? He gave. He gave what was most precious to him. God's love cost him something. And if we're going to express that kind of God-like love, then we too need to be willing to sacrifice. Number three, God's love is personable. It's personable. It's not just a philosophy. It's not just an idea. God's love was manifest through a person. And that person is Jesus. And we know his love because of Jesus Christ, the person. He walked among us. He didn't just say, do this. He came and did this. He modeled it for us in a very personal way. Number four, God's love is acceptable. You can actually receive that love. His love can be yours despite how unlovable we feel we are sometimes. You can accept it because you are accepted. That's a powerful truth. And then finally, number five, God's love is accessible. That's real good news. At least it is to me, and I hope it is to you. It's not for a limited few or reserved for the elite. It's not set aside for a certain age, a color of a skin, or a vaccination status. No, no, no. When we accept Jesus, we demonstrate that his love is accessible to all. That excites me. See, Jesus willingly left the harmony of perfect relationship with the Father and with the Spirit. And because of his love, he stepped out of that into the messiness of humanity because of his love for you and I. He laid down his life on the cross to offer us all a way back to the architect and his original plan for relationships. You know what? The church should be an example of these kind of loving, healthy relationships. So how is that all made possible? Let me give you this last scripture. 1 John chapter 4, verses 9, and then we're going to jump down to verse 11. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Then jumping down to verse 11, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Are you a wise builder today? Let's practice the architect's master plan for our lives and live in his love, in the power of that love. And out of our healthy relationships that we all have with God, we can have healthy relationships with the world that surrounds us. Would you pray with me? Let's pray today. Father, we thank you today for your love, that it is truly uncommon. That, Lord Jesus, you hold us tight, and it's because of that love that we in turn can love others. I pray that we would always be taken back to why you created us and why you put us here, to enjoy what you've called us to, but to live a life of purpose in close relationship with you and in community and in concert with other people. I pray today for every person who's struggling in their relationships that we would find strength, knowing that we have strong beginnings. We understood where it all started and the heart that you have, not only in that moment of our creation, but to this day. I pray for every person that's joining us today, that you would touch them right where they are, that you would strengthen their relationships. They would take this time to get and go deeper into your word, to understand it for themselves, to walk in it on a daily basis. And I also pray today for those that are watching that don't know you in that personal way yet, that today could be their day, that they would understand that this moment was designed just for you, So if that's you today and you say, Pastor Steve, I need to know Jesus in the personal way that you're talking about, you can pray that simple prayer that we've prayed so many times. And in this moment, your life can be changed. It's not complicated. It's just a willingness to recognize what he did and to see it in a personal way, that he did it for you. If that's you today, pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I recognize that you died on a cross for my sin. I accept your forgiveness, and I walk in the new hope and life that you've given me. I pray that you would cause me to grow and to reflect who you are, to reflect your love, and that every day I would learn to love the world around me. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. God's best, Calvary. Listen, if you've prayed that prayer today for the first time, would you go ahead and let someone in the chat know? Tell one of our hosts. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to get you some material that would help you grow. We have classes here at the church, Alpha classes. We have our Next Step class that will help you discover your purpose and find your place in what God has called you to do. We are here to help you grow and develop, firstly, in your relationship with him, and then in your relationship with everyone else. Have an amazing week, and we look forward to seeing you again for Calvary Church Online next week.